I want to welcome each one here this evening and anyone who may be visiting with us. We appreciate very much your presence. As always, I encourage you to follow with me. I understand that your responsibility is to know God's truth. Your faith needs to be based on an accurate understanding of the Word of God. Over the last few weeks, we've been trying to look at detail and learn as much as we can about God. And we've made the point time and again that really the only way we can know details is from God's Word, from what He says, what He reveals about Himself. We certainly do not have the ability to look and to figure God out on our own, with the exception, of course, of what God has given us in creation. And so there are certain things just by creation that we can know about God, but again, the details, exactly what He wants from us, what we are to do, how we are to live, these are the things that come from God's Word. And last week, we spent time, Sunday morning and Sunday night, talking about the fact that really God's mindset, God's attitude about law, about His will, has remained consistent. We talked about the fact that there is no variableness with God, no variation with God, no shadow of turning. God remains the same, and we looked at from the book of Genesis and the creation through the New Testament and showed how it is that God continues to direct man, and God gives law. This morning, we spent time laying a foundation with regard to faith, and I made the point as we closed this morning that really God's mindset about faith is also consistent, just as it was with regard to law and man's duty to Him. And so this morning we looked at some examples of faith, again back in the very beginning and through the New Testament. This evening we're going to look at Hebrews chapter 11. I made that announcement this morning, so go ahead and turn to the book of Hebrews chapter 11. Because what we find here are various examples of people with faith. And in every one of these examples, the point that we made this morning about faith being more than just a belief in God, an assent to facts, to information, is borne out. All of the examples of faith here tell us really what faith is. It is a belief in God, most assuredly. But it's more than that. It's a belief in God that is so strong, a conviction that is so great, that it leads us to act. It leads us to do. And that has always been God's view of a saving faith. All right, let's read verse 1. Now, faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. The substance of things hoped for. It is the reason we have hope, is what he's saying. It is the foundation, the ground of our hope. I believe in God and in Jesus Christ through faith. I believe in the promises that God has made with regard to salvation. I believe the Bible's description of a place called heaven, and that we have an immortal soul. And so I believe in a resurrection. All of this is based on faith. These are not things I have seen. These are not things I can prove beyond any doubt. These are things I have come to realize based on information, based on God's will, as a matter of conviction. I've weighed the information, the evidence, and have concluded that it is right, that heaven does exist, that there will be a resurrection, and that God does save man. And so that's what faith is. It is the substance, the reason, if you will, of the things that I hope for. It's also the evidence of things not seen. I was not here at creation. One of the great fallacies of those who claim that evolution, organic evolution, is a part of science, is the fact that science cannot prove organic evolution. It cannot prove how things began. It's beyond science's capability. No one can observe. No experience can be made. We cannot test. And so creation is beyond what we can know for sure. And so my faith is the evidence. It is the support for the things that I have not seen. And again, we could go back to heaven, certainly. But in this context, he talks about the fact that faith is, again, the reason we believe in creation. Listen to verse 3. Through faith, we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God, so that things which are seen were not made of things which do appear. There's no way I can explain that. I cannot explain even the idea of a nothingness that is separate and apart from this universe. I cannot explain how from a nothingness God spoke things into existence. It's beyond my capability of understanding. So by my faith, then I accept this. I understand this. I believe this. Then he goes on and talks about some specific examples. And here really the point begins that we're trying to make tonight. Verse 4. By faith Abel offered unto God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain, by which he obtained witness that he was righteous, God testifying of his gifts, and by it he being dead yet speaketh. We know the story of Cain and Abel. And to be honest, there's not a great deal said about Abel in that context. We know that he was the second born. We know that he was a herdsman, a shepherd. We know that he came and he offered a sacrifice to God from the things that he had. It was an animal sacrifice, a blood sacrifice. We know Cain, a little bit about him. He was the firstborn. He was what we might call a farmer. And he brought to God the things that he had of the fruit of the ground. And he offered that to God. And really, the bulk of the information we have there in Genesis chapter 4 involves Cain and his reaction. And then what he did because of his anger in murdering his brother. But here in Hebrews chapter 11, we note something about Abel that may not have been as clear if we only had Genesis chapter 4. And what we find here is that it was by faith that Abel offered unto God a more excellent sacrifice. And the point we made this morning is that, again, faith is based on information. Well, what kind of information did Cain have and did Abel have? Well, it had to be, again, based on the context, an information of what God wanted, of what would please God. Because, again, it seems that in addition to probably heart issues that Cain had, it seems that at least a part of the focus involved the sacrifice itself. And Abel offered to God that which was pleasing to God. And it was not by accident. It was not by chance. They didn't each simply bring what they thought God would be pleased with. And by chance, Abel was right and Cain was wrong. Because we find here that what was done by faith. And not only that, he goes on and says, by which he obtained witness that he was righteous. Well, what was the witness? He obtained witness that he was righteous. God testifying of his gifts, and by it being dead yet speaketh. You see, the witness is in the fact that he offered an animal sacrifice and God was pleased with that. By his faith in offering the animal sacrifice, that was the witness that he's talking about here, and the fact that God testifies. And so we read about Abel today, and we know about Abel thousands of years after the fact. And he still stands out as a person of faith. In fact, in this context, he is the first person mentioned by name as having faith. In verse 5, by faith Enoch was translated that he should not see death. It was not found because God had translated him. For before his translation, he had this testimony that he pleased God. Now again, if you go back to the book of Genesis, where this story takes place, there's not a great deal said about Enoch. And in fact, you read there in the lineage from Seth, the third eldest child. Abel was killed by Cain. Cain was sent out by God, and so the family continued there under Seth. You find there in the book of Genesis, chapter 5, it just simply reads this way, in verse 24. And Enoch walked with God, and he was not, for God took him. But what we find here again is that all of this was done because of his faith. And we find here in verse 5 that he pleased God. I don't have any more detail than that. It seems that it was a lifestyle that he chose. It seems that it was a habit that he made in doing what God wanted him to do. Again, based upon our understanding of faith. And then in verse 6, a declaration is made. Without faith, it is impossible to please him, for he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. And so as we get past Abel and Enoch, the writer makes a declaration that if you don't have faith, you cannot possibly please God. Why is that? Well, if you're going to come to God, if you're going to enjoy a fellowship with God, his blessings, then there are two things necessary. Number one, you must believe that he is. And so again, yes, we acknowledge the part of belief and saving faith. But that's not all that's said here. You must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. So now we're talking about an action based on that conviction, an action based on belief that God is. An action that is described here as diligently seeking after him. And then we begin yet more people of faith. Noah, being warned of God of things not seen as yet, moved with fear, prepared an ark to the saving of his house, by the which he condemned the world and became heir of the righteousness which is by faith. You see, at the time of the flood, nothing even remotely resembling a rain had taken place. The things that happened in this time of flood, these things were unique. They were different. And so you can just imagine people hearing about a flood, how they had to mock and ridicule. The very idea of things being submerged in water, a worldwide flood. People ridicule that. You know, people still ridicule that idea. Have you heard anyone ever belittle the concept that there was a worldwide flood, that there was so much rain that it covered even the highest mountaintop? How could that possibly be? I can just imagine that that's what the people then were saying, because they'd not seen anything like that. And yet that is exactly what took place, and it was by his faith in God that he went to work. He went to work building an ark. Building an ark according to the specifications God gave him. He moved with fear, prepared an ark to the saving of his house. He moved with respect, with awe, with reverence in what God had said. God said something again that did not make sense. Remember in our lesson we talked about having to have faith enough to accept those things that we don't understand? Here's an example of that. How is this going to be possible? Abraham. Two things are said about him that we want to talk about. Number one, he was called to go out into a place which he should, after receive for an inheritance, obeyed and went out not knowing whether he went. This was his faith. God said, go, and he did. He had no idea where that journey would take him. God had showed him a place, but he continued to wonder. In his lifetime, he never possessed that land, but he continued to follow God. Talks about him sojourning by faith in verse 9. By faith he sojourned in the land of promise as in a strange country, dwelling in tabernacles with Isaac and Jacob, the heirs with him of the same promise. And then you drop down in verse 17. By faith, Abraham, when he was tried, offered up Isaac, and that he that had received the promises offered up his only begotten son, of whom it was said that in Isaac shall thy seed be called, accounting that God was able to raise him up even from the dead, from whence also he received him in a figure. And so we find here that perhaps the greatest challenge that he had to face, and maybe the greatest unknown, because be sure of this. Abraham did not know that God was going to stay his hand. Abraham went through the process of preparing that altar, the wood, even placing his son on that altar and raising his hand ready to take his son's life. All of that was done by faith. Let me ask you something. Are we called today to travel and to journey places we don't know? Where our destiny will finally end up? Sure we are. Are we called on today to make what may seem like to us great sacrifices? Well, that's part of Christianity, isn't it? Part of Christianity is ready and willing to give up everything. And so does God require a less faith from us, a greater faith from us? I would say that he requires the same faith from us. When you look in the book of Matthew, and Jesus talking about taking up the cross and following after him, talking about the kind of situations that Christians would find themselves in, he said in Matthew 10, in verse 21, the brother shall deliver up the brother to death, and the father the child, and the children shall rise up against their parents and cause them to be put to death. And ye shall be hated of all men for my name's sake, but he that endureth to the end shall be saved. Drop over to verse 32. Whosoever therefore shall confess me before men, him will I confess before my Father which is in heaven. But whosoever shall deny me before men, him will I also deny before my Father which is in heaven. Think not that I come to send peace on earth. I came not to send peace, but a sword. For I am come to set a man at variance against his father, and the daughter against her mother, and the daughter-in-law against her mother-in-law. And a man's foes shall be they of his own household. He that loveth father or mother more than me is not worthy of me. He that loveth son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me. And he that taketh not his cross and followeth after me is not worthy of me. You see, God calls on us to have exactly the same kind of faith that he called on Abraham to have. You know, we look back on Abraham and we think to ourselves, what a great man. How could he do what God asked him to do? How could he just get up and leave? How could he wander? And most of all, how could he raise his hand ready to take his son's life? Because you see, he had a sacrificial faith. He had a faith that was willing to do whatever God asked him to do with absolute confidence in God. Do we have that kind of faith? Do we have the kind of faith that gives us that confidence to believe in God regardless of the situation we are called on to endure or to overcome? Let's go to verse 21. By faith, Jacob, when he was dying, blessed both the sons of Joseph and worshiped, leaning upon the top of his staff. By faith, Joseph, when he died, made mention of the departing of the children of Israel and gave commandment concerning his bones. And so these are talking again about the family of Abraham and the things that they did. Not a great deal of information. A little more here with Moses. By faith, Moses, when he was born, was hid 3 months of his parents because they saw he was a proper child and they were not afraid of the king's commandment. So his parents acted based on faith. Exactly what did they know? Exactly what were they thinking? The Bible doesn't tell us. But whatever was done is attributed to faith. And so is it possible that God spoke to them? Is it possible that in God speaking, it was nothing more than them understanding the precious nature of life and the desire to save their child? Is it possible that God spoke in a direct way to them and told them what to do? We don't know. What we do know is that their actions were based on faith. And so it had to be based on some kind of understanding, of truth, of God's truth. Whether it was just simply the sanctity of life or whether God told them how to react and respond. By faith, Moses, when he was come to years, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season. Esteeming the reproach of Christ greater riches than the treasure in Egypt, for he had respect unto the recompense of the reward. You see, Moses was brought up by his mother. And she taught him about his heritage. And there came a time in his life, and he made a choice. And that choice was made by faith. By faith, based on the information, the teaching that his mother gave to him about God, about the people of God. And based on that, he made a choice to stand up for God's people, choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season. In verse 27, by faith he forsook Egypt, not fearing the wrath of the king, for he endured as seeing him who is invisible. He made his choice. He slew the Egyptian who was mistreating an Israelite. He made his choice. He fled Egypt. By faith, in verse 29, they passed through the Red Sea as by dry land, which the Egyptians, essaying to do, were drowned. We don't have the time to look at all of these examples of faith. But I think we've looked at enough to realize that really what they did and what is described by God's word concerning these different cases, these different stories and people, that what they did is exactly what God wants us to do today. Now, God has never told any of us to raise our hand and sacrifice our son, our only son. God has never told any of us to get out and leave our family and our country. None of us have ever been in the place of Moses. But I can tell you this, all of us are called on to have the exact same kind of faith they did. In the reading a little bit earlier in the book of James chapter 2, one more person was mentioned. Abraham and Rahab. Rahab is mentioned in this text as well. The point is very simple again. Faith is what saves us. Faith that is based on God's Word, faith that is active, that is living, faith that is responsive to God's will and does what God says to do. Anyone who suggests that faith only saves, faith without deeds, faith without works, faith without response, simply does not understand what faith is. Faith is not just a belief in God. Faith is a conviction in God that motivates us, causes us to do what God wants us to do. And that is always, from the very beginning of time, been what God wants from His people. Are you a person of faith? Are you a member of God's family? You see, a person of faith who learns what they need to do, who learns what the truth is, will respond. We talked about Paul this morning and how his faith progressed and changed based on information. And sometimes that's the way ours does as well. If you're not a Christian, I hope at this point in time you have enough faith in God that you will respond, that you will come forward, confess your faith, and be baptized. If as a child of God, maybe your faith has wavered a little bit, I hope that you will strengthen that faith and that you will do what God wants you to do. Understand what it means to have faith. If you need to respond this evening, do so as together we stand and sing.